Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Hi guys, thanks for coming back. Welcome to Think Big. I have here Heather Chan. So Heather, if you don't mind maybe introducing yourself, telling us about your business and where you're calling from.
Of course. So my name is Heather Chan and I'm a co-founder of Moombo alongside my twin sister who lives in LA. She's an acupuncturist and doctor. I'm based in New York and I'm really focusing on the day-to-day operations as I have a background in private equity. And so we're really working the bi-coastal and it really plays with our story. And Moombo is a traditional Chinese medicine inspired skincare line. And so for those who don't know what that means, we are putting in Eastern herbs into our skincare products. And the whole thing about Moombo, and do you know what a Moombo is?
I don't know. No.
It's a rainbow that you can see around a moon, and it's a rare occurrence. And you can see it when there's clouds or when there's a particular light that shines on the moon. And so in Chinese medicine, the moon is very yin and the rainbow is very yang. And so the whole story behind our brand is playing with the duality of us growing up in Hong Kong, moving to the US, us being identical twins, but opposites, you know, sharing traditions to the modern world, attaching Eastern medicine to Western innovation. So really just playing the duality of the brand from opposites that can merge and harmonize together. So our vision is to harmonize skin and spirit, right? And I think the whole precipice of creating Moombo together as sisters, we are best friends, we grew up together. And our first time, we actually also went to school together. And our first time apart was after school when we were 22 years old. Where we were both trying to find our identities. And honestly, I think the older we grew up, the more we realized that there was something that we could do and create that was so powerful. And it started because we both moved to the US and we were both dealing with a lot of health issues, from gut issues, acne issues, you name it. And I think it was just a change in culture, a change in foods, a change in everything, you name it. And there was a point during COVID where I wrote a diary every single day of everything I ate, things that upset my stomach, things that would cause acne. And the ultimate solution for both of us really was to go back to our roots and understanding the powers of traditional Chinese medicine and ingesting these herbs to help our skin and to help us feel just honestly, energetically, emotionally, and, you know, as a holistic being, feeling much better. And the whole, you know, ethos of traditional Chinese medicine is combining mind, body, and soul. So, before I go forward, I definitely want to ask you, are you aware of traditional Chinese medicine? Do you know what it is?
Not really. I mean, I know maybe as much as a typical American guy will know.
Yeah.
You know, they have certain different spices or herbs. I know there's a lot more into not just giving medications. I guess traditionally it's supposed to be make sure the acupuncture you're feeling good. Well, a lot of times they'll have a different nerve ending. So I know very little about it.
Honestly, that's good. That's good. I mean, this is an educational piece for you as well.
Sure.
I mean, traditional Chinese medicine basically goes to the root cause and sees your issues as a holistic being, right? So for example, if you have, you know, a lot of acne, right? You would go into your body and understand what part in your body has imbalances, whether it's a kidney or liver or something, right? And so that's why as a holistic medicine, you will put needles on all parts of your body to be able to heal your body from that whole perspective versus Western medicine, of course, years and years and thousands of years of research. But if you have a headache, for example, you take ibuprofen or an Advil to suppress the issue of a headache, but it doesn't ultimately get to the root cause, right?
Yeah.
And in Western medicine, for example, there's a doctor for bone issues, there's a doctor for dental, there's a doctor for, you know, you name it. And they're all separate doctors for certain specifications of problems of your body. And in acupuncture, as a TCM, so TCM is just an abbreviation, as a TCM doctor, you see these issues as a whole. So that's the whole foundation of our skincare business, right? In which we aren't just creating a skincare product, but we really want to instill that it's okay to slow down we want to really instill a routine, and that's really the whole process of TCM, that like if you put on skincare, like think about like your mental wellness perspective, whether it's drinking tea while you put on skincare, listening to music, meditating, writing in your journal, lighting an incense, you name it. It's like it's really just pushing for that balance that everyone is yearning post-COVID. So I'll pause there.
That's really great. I mean, A, obviously, it's so important. I worked as a nurse for many years, an ER nurse. And for sure, yeah, like just people a lot of times just throw a Band-Aid and just, oh, you have a headache, just take Tylenol. Or sometimes if we don't know exactly what's causing something that's a little bit more unique, just say, oh, it's probably just nerves and that's it. But actually, not actually addressing, again, if you've got something spiritually wrong, that's going to affect. If you've got, there's so many root causes which you kind of just ignore. Just take Ozempic if you're overweight. Like for sure, it's a
Exactly.
yeah.
Exactly. That's really funny. And it's like people say, like, if you have really bad acne, I'm not sure if you heard of Accutane.
Yes. Oh yeah, I've heard of
But
it. Yeah.
people say that Accutane is like the Ozempic of skincare, where it basically dries your body inside out. And yeah, it's effective, but what are the ultimate long-term causes of it? Like it makes your skin so dry. Like I have a friend who is on Accutane and she cannot, like, her lips are just chapped 24/7 and she doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
But I mean, acupuncture is a practice that takes time and it's also a meditative state, and that's where we both feel grounded, right? So like we are planning to launch in Q1 of next year, and our focus now really is to finalize our formulations and just ensure that our formulations are great, right? So we're testing out on consumers, we're getting consumer feedback, we're also, getting consumer feedback on our packaging, like because Moonbo is part of, astrology, right? Our whole branding is very ethereal, uplifting, calming, but we also want to cater towards the younger generation. And so we're instilling different colors for each of our products. So we're actually launching the three products just to create the base SKU, like just to create the base foundation, a collection that we want to have in the future. So we're going to have a face wash, a face moisturizer, and a serum. Right. In each of these products, we are putting five different TCM herbs in it to provide an effect that consumers have asked for based on our consumer feedback, right? Whether it's helping with fine lines, whether it's brightening your skin. And it's really just protecting the barrier and creating that barrier that's healthy, for consumers, that is also very gentle, right? Natural herbs that are gentle, but also combining it with Western medicine and Western innovation of ingredients in skincare that are also very beneficial for you, from niacinamide to hyaluronic acid, you name it. So we're kind of combining both and both. This actually, are you a skincare lover? Is this like very out of scope?
Well, it's I'm not the best, but my girlfriend, she's all into skincare and she's always telling me to do this, take this, put this cream on. Like she's very into it, and also just
Yeah.
types of foods you eat that it affects your skin as well. Like she's very into that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So like the herbs that we're putting on the skin is beneficially from an external and internal purpose, right? So one of our hero ingredients, it's called Zhuhua in Mandarin, and it's wild chrysanthemum, right? And wild chrysanthemum is something that you can drink that is super anti-inflammatory. And like, for example, if you have like styes in your eyes, when you wake up,
Yeah.
just like put a chrysanthemum on your eye and it'll help, get rid of these styes. Like from an internal perspective, right? Like if you feel very hot inside, drink chrysanthemum tea to help cool your body down, right? So it's like it's all about the hot and cold and the imbalances in your
It's called
body.
chrysanthemum, you said?
Chrysanthemum. It's a
Chrysanthemum.
very beautiful flower. It kind of looks like a sunflower, but like super, super tiny, and it's yellow. So we want to highlight this in our products because it's something that we've grown up with that we really love.
Can you buy
But you
that at
know,
like a Whole Foods, or
so you
we can
can
get
buy it in
that?
a Whole Foods. You can buy it in Chinatown.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
There's a lot of great herbal stores in Chinatown where you can buy dry herbs, right? And you name it, from, hundreds of different herbs that are good for you. And if you just go in and ask for wild chrysanthemum, they will give you smaller buds or bigger flowers. And like, there's no caffeine in it. So if you want some herbal tea, maybe your girlfriend can try it. Like, just have it at night before you go to bed, and it's so flavorful. So,
I'll let her know. Oh, if you need another tester, I'll tell her. She should.
Yes. But also, like, because like TCM is like, I think to a lot of consumers, it's new, right? So there's a big educational gap, and we definitely want to, educate our consumers in a digestible form, right? So not overwhelming them with so much ingredients and so much new things. So like the way, like we've been very thoughtful about our packaging and how it'll, be presented to consumers, the herbs that we're highlighting, and just like, I mean, obviously, like as people learn more about TCM, people understand the powers of it, and like they can harmonize together with Western innovation, but it'll take time for people to really understand like the powers of it. And because skin is the biggest organ, right, of your body, and basically like what you put inside your body, your skin is a manifestation of it. Like we decided that is the best way to get out to the world to share the powers of traditional Chinese medicine, right? Versus someone going to an acupuncture studio, like that takes time, that takes effort, that takes space out of someone's day. If people aren't ready to get needles poked on their body, there's other ways of traditional Chinese medicine, because it's not just acupuncture, right? It's a lifestyle and it's a culture. That's what we're trying to share. And also, feel free to interrupt me. Do you have any questions?
Well, I actually do. I mean, it's a very interesting topic. It's a very, I mean, I've heard a lot of it from my girlfriend, and like just in general, just it's so like people, again, as with my nursing experience, so many people just think, oh, just take this medicine, I'll be fine. And you don't realize that what you eat, just everything internally will affect, again, how you're feeling, what you're eating, what you put into your body, what you put onto your body will affect everything about your body. So I think it's a fascinating subject. But I'm also curious, so definitely mention your sister. She's a doctor in California,
She's a doctor
and
and acupuncturist.
doctor and acupuncturist. And here with all these like different, like, I mean, you're really doing a lot of like scientific research with your products. And you mentioned you're going to be launching next year, Q1 of next year. So you've got 6 months left, and it sounds like you guys have been working on this for the past couple of years at least. I'm just curious to hear about your experience. Like, how's that been in the last 2 years?
So my journey has been very interesting. I was in private equity fundraising for commercial real estate for the past 7 years. And my twin sister in 2019 went through this whole spiritual awakening where she was planning to be a Western doctor. She took her MCATs, you name it. And then just all of a sudden, she just had this awakening and was like, I don't want to practice Western medicine. I want to practice Eastern medicine. So she started school, and it's like, I mean, it's a 4 to 6 year schooling, and it's a program post undergraduate, right? And so as she was going to school, she was sharing a lot of information, and it was just like more of a thoughtful kind of conversation through these years of understanding the powers of traditional Chinese medicine, right? And us growing up in Hong Kong, ironically, like we didn't grow up with acupuncture. We didn't know what acupuncture was. Like growing up very internationally and Americanized in Hong Kong, which is also ironic, my first language is English. We saw the Western world and Western innovation as the high all and mighty, like we want to do this, like we want to go to school in the US, like there's more, opportunities, you name it. And so like we didn't focus on anything Eastern regarding like medicine, but we were focused on TCM as a culture, right? So every single day in Hong Kong, we would have like broth soup or just soup with Eastern herbs that help your gut and that help your skin. And I had this every single day, right? The lifestyle from eating habits to, to lifestyle habits, like that was instilled in our culture. And so coming back to my story of being in private equity, like, I mean, I come from a creative background. I double majored in economics and visual arts. I have always been wanting to start a business, but I just didn't know when, right? And like coming from a traditional Chinese background, I guess my rite of passage was either to be in finance, be a doctor, or be a lawyer. So I found a job in private equity and stayed in it until I figured myself out. And so like this has been like a long journey where 4 years ago during COVID, like my sister and I were playing with the idea, but we both didn't think that we were ready to start this journey because she was in school and I just wanted to understand more of like the business acumen side of things. And really, honestly, so last fall, I met up with one of my friends who actually started a hair care company, like a super successful brand, Fable & Mane, and launched launch it's launched all over the Sephora's. He sat me down for drinks one time, and I've been talking to him, for the past couple of years before that about starting this skincare brand. And so he sat me down. He was like, Heather, he was like, I'm going to give you homework. You're going to create a pitch deck and you know, and talk and think about your mission, vision, values, and present it to me in 2 weeks. And so this was last fall, and so I did it. I got on a meeting with him, actually set up a meeting while I was in the office, like at my private equity firm, and I presented to him, and he was like, Heather, he was like, I'm actually pretty impressed. Like, you've done a lot more work than, I thought you would. And then he gave me more homework, right? And so he basically held me accountable to actually start something that I was so passionate about, right? If it wasn't for his push, I wouldn't have never started it. It was something that I've always wanted to do. And as entrepreneurs, you always say, like, oh, there's no right time. Like, I don't feel like it's the right time, but like, there never is a right time. You just have to do it. Like, you just have to execute. So, like, I think like the process of like ideation to actually putting something on paper is the biggest step forward to starting something. And so he helped me create this rhythm where I started researching and understanding more about the skincare industry, the beauty industry. And like, I mean, that said, I've always been into beauty growing up. Like, my, I heard traditions and I've learned traditions from my mom. Like, when she was 7 years old, her five sisters took her to like the Sephora of Hong Kong and introduced her to skincare. Like, every single year growing up since I was 8 years old, my mom would buy me skincare products and beauty products for Christmas, for my birthday, you name it. So like, I've always been involved in that. But like, I got to a point, where I was searching up contract manufacturers, packaging companies, a graphic designer, and I realized that I was like, okay, if I really want to do this, I need to start finding contract manufacturers. So I found someone after, months of research who I trust and we have a good repertoire with, right? I found a graphic designer who's so talented, and they basically helped me put things to life, right? So I have been testing like, six, seven rounds of formulations. I have my packaging, almost finalized. I created my website and everything's coming to life. So that's where I am.
It's
I'm
very
talking a
exciting.
lot, so let me
Well,
know if you have any other questions.
it's good for you to talk. That's why I wanted you to come on here. But no, it's very exciting. I guess I'm curious because obviously, what you mentioned for any entrepreneur, you just have to take that step because that is, in some ways, at least I know for me, like when I was just doing nursing and not focus on other ventures, like it's easy to just get stuck in what you're doing, whatever it is. You're just okay. You're doing real estate, financing, just getting you used to it. You know what you're doing. You've got the job. You've got the steady paycheck. It's very easy just to stick with that and not step out of your comfort zone. But I'm also curious, and I know this is very, I think a lot of people have trouble with this. How do you find the right, say you mentioned the right manufacturer or the right graphic designer, probably the right person building your website for you? Like, how do you find that? And how do you guess, how do you have a good, what would you recommend for someone else who needs to do that?
So I like to think that the decision an entrepreneur makes, 95% of your decisions will end up wrong. And when you start a business, it's a lot about trial and error, right? And it's about of learning from your mistakes, but also making very sound decisions that could help avoid these mistakes, right? And like, I actually applied to this fellowship program, this accelerator program, non-equity fellowship program in November, and I got in. It's called Startup Leadership Program. And every single Tuesday, you have classes in person and also on Zoom that focus on a specific curriculum that helps all entrepreneurs in all industries, from legal to tax, your go-to-market strategy, your jobs to be done, your, customer development, you name it. And that really helps me think about, organize, it just helped me organize my thoughts to help me process on what I need to do. So for example, for a contract manufacturer, like honestly, I just like went, like what I did was that I have a friend on the consumer side in private equity, and she has been also looking at these contract manufacturers to underwrite or, due diligence. And so I had her help me just like pull a bunch of competitors on contract manufacturing side from large conglomerates to smaller conglomerates in the US. So did that research there, and then also went on Google and searched up top 10 contract manufacturers in the US, right? Understanding ones that can help me from end to end, right? Because there's labs and contract manufacturers or manufacturers out there that cannot help in all steps of the way. And as a first-time entrepreneur, I wanted someone who could help create the formulations and partner with me on that, partner with me on packaging, and partnering with me on all steps of the way, right? So I think someone who was willing to handhold you and respond to you quickly, but also understand the ethos of Moonbow, I think was really important. So, my advice is to just start speaking to someone, and like someone who just is starting the beauty industry, always have like three manufacturers on mind that you just want to continue creating the right relationships. Because I started speaking to a lab in Korea, and it felt like it was a good repertoire. But then when they came back with me on the minimum order quantity, so that's a biggest barrier to entry, they quoted me 50,000 units for one product. And I was like, I cannot afford that. I'm not going to do that. And so I switched to another contract manufacturer in LA, right? And was doing rounds with them, but then also realizing that, like, I don't know if this is the product that I want to create. And then the woman that we were communicating with no longer worked there, right? So, like, you just always have to be able to be nimble to change your business whenever, right? And then a graphic designer, there are so many outlets and so many resources that you can use, whether it's your friends or this accelerator program. And if you're in the consumer space, I highly advise going on the Slack network for startup CPG. That's the best way to find help and find people who understand the space so well, right? So, for example, like I pinged them yesterday being like, I'm looking for a new graphic designer, and I got 20 to 30 pings on people saying, I can help you, I can help you, right? So,
Oh,
like,
great.
there's a community of entrepreneurs, and you're realizing that everyone is in the same boat. Everyone understands how to start, like, everyone understands the struggles of starting a business, and there will always be a community that will help you. And that has really helped me push forward on my day to day, because, like, being an entrepreneur is lonely.
Hey, y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing, and I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? You want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technologies like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Now I'm curious. Actually, so I lived in New York for a bit. Actually, I just moved back to Jersey, but I'm probably going to back to New York City soon. Yeah, I was up in up West Side for 2 years. And have you joined? There's this this good was it CPG? This is networking event. They have once a month. They have it in a this is like a CPG of networking event. I could probably send it to you. I have to find it.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, but it's good. Like they, you meet a lot of other. I mean, they meet up at a coffee place. I did it a couple times, and once a month, and it's very chill. They, you meet like other TPG founders, and it's just a really nice time. I'll send it to you after. I'll look it
Yeah,
up, and I'll either
that would be
I or
great.
yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, it's a good way for you to also find other people to interview.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Like that's one thing. Like Dan, he gets really into like as a founder. Like you wanna look. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. So you want to talk to people who've if they've had some success and learn from them. How do they do it? Because you're right. You mentioned 95% of the choices you'll make will be wrong, which is fine. But then you learn from the people who've done it right, and then hopefully you keep improving.
But also, like, if you're so passionate about your business, you will have, you will have the motivation to persist, right? And I mean, the not, I mean, obviously, like, there are top reasons on why startups fail, right? And they say that 1% of startups succeed. Number one, of course, is financials. Two, co-founder conflicts. But three, like, I just really believe that, like, if you're not passionate about your business and you don't want to persist, and that's why it fails. Like, I've listened to so many podcasts as an entrepreneur, and the founder of Noom came to speak at the accelerator program, and he's been working on his product for years, like for 10 years, right? Where his product shifted so many different times and pivoted, but he still has something that consumers want, right? And so, for example, like if in the case like Moonbo, right? Like it's a physical product where it's B2C. If I want to pivot and still want to share the prowess of traditional Chinese medicine, maybe I think about changing my business to B2B, right? So the willingness to pivot and persist and to find what's not working and figuring out what can work, right? And testing out the customers and testing out the market, I think is super important. That's what I definitely learned. And also listening to your consumers and your customers is number one.
Yeah,
Like
it's
they say,
always
yeah. No,
always
go on.
customers. Sorry, always customers 100 number one for sure. Whatever you have to provide that value for the customer. If you're not providing value, you're not going to have a customer.
They also say that first time entrepreneurs care about the product, second time entrepreneurs care about the consumer, like the customers. So that's definitely a lesson learned. Like as a first time entrepreneur, I'm so focused on my product because product development is so important for skincare, right? Because I actually have a physical product. but to also prioritize customer feedback is so important. And so I've been trying, you know, my sister and I, we've been pushing forward and doing our best to get customer feedback on our products before even launching it. You know, and of course, like when we launch, we will get more customer feedback because it'll be in the market. But getting people's thoughts throughout the process have also been super helpful, you know, to get to our target demographics and our target consumers.
Well, I think it's interesting. Well, there's two questions I wanted to go over to her. Mm-hmm. The other one, the first question I ask is, it's interesting you mentioned like you really have to focus on the customer. And I know now for you, you're getting that customer feedback now. And it's, I think, very important because there's that one book, was it Startup Nation? I forgot what it was called. Mm-hmm. But pretty much talking about how you have to have the MVP. Don't drag out the MVP process. Just have the MVP.
Just have it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Show it to them. And then they may say, this is horrible, this is great, you should go this direction. And if you spend, and I had this an experience as a, I've made an app like 10 years ago, mm-hmm. I dragged that the MVP process. So then like, until we actually was ready to launch, I spent like a large chunk of what I was willing to spend. I'm like, oh my God, that's not good. So like, just have the MVP, launch it, and then you get the feedback. And if you double down, if it's good, or you make those changes, it needs some changes.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, it's like, it's kind of like, I guess what's applicable on my side is, okay, I want to create a very beautiful website. But honestly, like for me, it's like, I just want to get a landing page out there so I can start, you know, getting subscriptions and emails and understanding and just trying to increase my SEO optimization right before I launch. But then like I have this website and then I can just continue to edit it and make it better based on what people say and the feedback you get, right? So I definitely agree. It's all about iterations. And I mean, I think also the one big challenging part about a consumer business is that it is so capital intensive in the beginning.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you also probably understand, but like you just make so many decisions every day where you feel like the decisions you make may not be good and may not be bad. And I've definitely made decisions that I've regretted, but you learn from it and you just have to push forward.
Yeah.
So having that fine balance of making the decisions, but being okay with it, right? But also tapping yourself, like, and just like patting yourself in the back to congratulate the small successes, because, you know, as entrepreneurs, you just have this long-term vision that you ultimately forget, like that you're succeeding every single day, but you're also failing every single day.
Yeah. Go with the flow of the failures, and hopefully the small successes until you get big. They just have to.
Exactly.
Know. Yeah.
Exactly. It's being nimble. And honestly, like having my twin sister as a co-founder and someone who, you know, can be a thought partner, you know, throughout the business has been so incredibly helpful. Like also, like, think about it. Like your twin sister, who's your best friend, is now your co-founder.
Yeah.
So you're merging personal relationship as a sister with business relationship. I mean, it's definitely made us very close and closer in a very different way, but also being able to maintain and giving each other space and, you know, and energy is also so important for our relationship. And it's like, you know, she's like so holistic and so type B, and she's a doctor and everything. And I'm just like type A, like finance, that person, like pounding her and reminding her every single day, like that's like my attitude. And I just have to be mindful that, you know, she's my sister.
Oh, for sure. Very important.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, Heather, so you mentioned your launch is Q1, so 6 months from now. You mentioned B2C. You said you're probably going to focus on that,
B2C.
That goal.
Mm-hmm.
How do you envision the launch going, and what are some challenges that you think you'll face and how you want to overcome those challenges?
Yeah, I think I envision my launch to be on our website from day one, right? A D2C. And it'll take a while for my brand to get out there and for people to know who we are. And I think a big focus right now is just to post a lot on social media on our accounts. My sister is an influencer on Instagram, and we have our Moonbow account as well, just providing educational advice and just kind of pushing forward an education, you know, educating people on our brand before we launch. And so because of our target consumer, social media and posting is going to be a big part of our success, right? And I definitely think like for the first couple months, it'll be challenging because I just need to have my expectations clear that I may not sell any products one month or one week, right? But there could be a viral video where there could be something viral where I get hundreds of products sold within a day. So I think it's like the first 6 months of launching a business is really just testing the market and seeing how people respond to market and, you know, editing my go-to-market strategy and getting in front of my consumers, I think will be very, very important. And as well, like that's on the front end, right? But then on the back end, right? Like being able to produce and speak to the manufacturer to produce the next line of products in case we sell out, right? So it's kind of managing, you know, the front and back end. And the lead time for skincare is very long, like from formulation to packaging to sourcing ingredients and packaging and actually getting things delivered to you or to the fulfillment center, whatever you use, takes a year, oh, wow. Right?
Wow.
But once you have the formulations and packaging done and that artwork, right, like that lead time can be decreased to like 3 months, right? So you just have to be aware of kind of playing that game of like, okay, when do I expect to sell out or when do I expect to needing to create these new products? Because like if, you know, hopefully like when in the event my products do really well, it'll be super unfortunate if my products sell out and I don't have anything to sell to consumers while riding that wave of momentum. And then of course, like my goal is to ultimately launch in a retail store that is appropriate for us. And for a beauty brand, like just like being in retailers will give you that different distribution channel that is super important.
Yeah.
So that's like my goal too. So yeah, those are the challenges. Great. Like,
yeah, well, it's definitely, it's always a fine balance, yeah, of everything you mentioned, because there's so many, I mean, we're talking to people and we do a little bit of marketing. There's so many different ways to market, whether you do TikTok, Facebook, Google, Amazon, Walmart. Then if you want to do B2B,
exactly.
There's so many ways. And do you focus on just, I know you and your sister, you mentioned doing all the organics. You just get, if you go viral, like I was talking to some guy on a podcast, Cool Glasses, yesterday. And he just went on TikTok and said, made some really good videos, went viral, and he sold out like 50,000 of his sunglasses,
right? Like,
within
that's
like
the
a
dream.
Month.
Exactly. Yeah. But you can't depend your business on viral videos, right? Like that's inconsistent. So like finding more consistent channels are also helpful. Like, I mean, I think it's also testing on the market and the hypothesis. Like I could be a D2C brand only. That could work. Maybe not. I could focus on distributing in retail stores, or I could also focus on B2B, right? As another distribution channel, focusing on other acupuncture clinics, estheticians, studios, you name it, and putting my products out there. But it's also testing, like my hypothesis is that I'm focusing on Gen Zs, right? As my target customers. So it's a lot about like, okay, I plan to go to a university and work with a sorority on launching my products and speaking to them and hosting events with these, you know, these young adults in college. So like, that's my strategy, or attending events and collaborating with different consumer brands to just get my name out there and see how they respond, or just going to a farmer's market and selling my products. Like what will work? I don't know. So yeah. I think I just need to be patient, because I need to be patient.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it's a type of business where like the proceeds will take a while. And obviously like my goal is to be profitable within the first year, so I can recycle the capital back to my business and create more products. Right. I'm just manifesting.
That is very important. The manifest. You should write it down. What's it called?
It's powerful.
Well, write it down, and there's something, man. It's like some sort of, my mom is used to talk about it, some sort of board. You write it down and it kind of manifests back to you. Some term they always use.
Exactly. But every day I write in my journal on three things I'm grateful for, my focus for the day, and what I want to achieve as like my manifestation. And that really helps you set your mind in the right path.
Well, that's amazing, Heather. Yeah. Well, Heather, it was a pleasure talking to you, pleasure having you on the podcast. Definitely wish you a lot of success. If you want to just finish it off, maybe how our listeners and anyone listens either A, can find you like Moonbow, and also find you guys if they wanted to contact you.
Awesome. So anyone can reach me at heather@moonbowskin.com. We have social media platforms. Our handle on Instagram is @moonbow_skin. And also when you go on that profile, you'll be able to visit my sister's account, and she provides very thoughtful educational sound bites on TCM. Like for example, if you have a stiff neck, right, there's a point on your hand that you can press to help alleviate the stiff neck, right? Oh, wow. So could be helpful for you.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to use her channel as a vertical for educational sound bites to educate our consumers. So I definitely recommend following her and Moonbow.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much, Heather. We have a great day.
Thank you so much, Effie. Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.